Good morning. I feel like the visiting preacher. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, as we just gather around your word this morning, I pray that your words to us will stick around. I pray that my words will hit the ground, Lord. Please be with us. Please speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When Pastor Mike speaks, he always ends up with this final word, doesn't he? I'm going to start with some final words this morning. But that doesn't mean we're going to be ever so short. But they're final words of people that are no longer with us. The first one is from the author J.M. Barrie, who you may know wrote Peter Pan. And his last words were, "I can't sleep." The comic Eric Morecambe walked off stage. He said, "I'm glad that's over." And those were his last words. And the mystic Nostradamus said, "Tomorrow I shall no longer be here." And it's strange the things that people say as their last words. But then we come to Jesus. There's two last words of Jesus, really, that I want to speak on this morning. One in particular. But the first one was when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." It is finished. Meaning that he had accomplished everything that God had given him to do. All that his Father sent him to do, he had accomplished. And then after he had risen from the dead, he met with his disciples, and the last words of Jesus, as recorded in Matthew 28, are, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And it's those two verses really that spoke to me and that I want to speak on this morning. You see, Jesus, in his ministry, he ministered largely to God's chosen people, Israel. Yes, he did meet with other people such as the Samaritan woman and others, but largely he ministered to God's chosen people, Israel. And his ministry was the beginning of the worldwide ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God to the world. And it has always been, I believe, Jesus' plan to make the kingdom of God known to the world through his disciples. You know, and that started with 12 people, didn't it? And now, worldwide, that number is 2 billion. 2,000 million people would call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. But Jesus always knew that the work would grow. It grew from 12 to 2 billion because disciples made disciples, made disciples, and so it goes on and on and on. And actually, God's word tells us that it will go on and on and on. In Acts chapter 5 and verses 38 to 39, we read about Israel's teacher, Gamaliel. And if you want to read the whole story, read Acts 5. But basically, Peter and the other apostles are before the Jewish leaders, and the Jewish leaders are wondering what to do with them. And then this man Gamaliel, this esteemed teacher of Israel's people, stood up and said to them, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And actually, in the last 2,000 years, many people have found themselves fighting against God to stop the advance of the gospel in this world. But Gamaliel was a very wise man. And he said, if you fight against God, you can't stop it, because God will have his way. And you know, we're all part of that plan to make the gospel known in this world. Amen? Amen. Mike spoke earlier when he was praying for Rick, he was talking about adventurous believers. And I'm just wondering whether we have a church this morning that's full of adventurous believers. Because, you know, as I read the Bible, it says that Jesus will come again when all nations have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is all nations, all people groups, all languages, when they have all heard the gospel. And, you know, there are still 5,000 people groups in this world that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's 1.5 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that just amazed me when I read that fact. If you add to that people that have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, then there are 4.5 billion people on this planet today that are going to a lost eternity. And I don't believe as Christians we can just sit back and do nothing. We can't affect that whole 4.5 billion people, but we can affect somebody that we live next door to, maybe. So in these verses in Matthew, Jesus says to us, he commands us to go, to baptize, and to teach. First, he says to go. You know, making disciples involves those who are disciples going to those who are not. If you look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, or verses 13 to 15, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I'm just wondering this morning now, how beautiful are your feet? If you were to look at your feet, would you consider them beautiful? I know if I look at my feet and I go, ugh. But I think if we're about God's work and proclaiming the kingdom and trying to make disciples, then I think God looks at our feet and says, they're beautiful feet because they're going with the message of the kingdom. And going doesn't necessarily mean going abroad. Going means going to where people live, where they work, and where they play. It means going where they are. It could be that you're sent to go to the person next door. It could be the person that you stand next to on the shop floor. It could be the person that you sits next to you at school or university. It could be somebody next to you at the checkout in Tesco. But God calls us to go wherever it is. And I believe we always know when God tells us when to go. And also, I just wanted to say that, you know, events such as we put on here at Welton can be a good thing. And it is good to invite people in and they have a good time and they always hear a gospel message. But God doesn't always call us to call people in, to bring people in to where we are. He tells us to go to where they are. He tells us to go and build relationships with other people. It might be being involved with those who are poor or those who are sick, to those who are needy, to those who are hurting, for whatever reason. But we are called to go to them and not expect them to come to us. We are to go to them, and in that way we have the opportunity eventually to share the gospel with them. So we are to build relationships with them. We are to demonstrate the relationship that we already have with Jesus Christ, to show them that we are living the Christian life. And then we need to introduce those people to Jesus so that they too can build a relationship with him. When we go to them, we're showing and demonstrating a new way of life. And that is a life of dependence on God and not of dependence on the world. And what we also do with them is share the life of Christ. We share the life of Christ with them through the gospel, but we also share life in Christ with them, with the way that we behave towards them and the way they can see us living our lives. And yes, it does involve risks to go. It does involve risks. Now, the biggest risk that many of us will face will just be the risk of ridicule. The risk of stepping out of our comfort zone and telling somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. We suffer the risk of ridicule. And you know, Jesus suffered so much for us that what's a bit of ridicule in our lives? We need to think on that. For others who are called, they're called to leave behind all that they know and love. Their home, their families, their friends, their church even, and they're called to go. And it's always a risk when you do that, because when you go, you're not always going to know what you're going to find when you get there. And so that's a risk. But you know, Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So wherever he sends us, whatever that risk is, Jesus says, "I am with you. I will share that risk with you, and I will go with you." So Jesus is telling us to go, to leave our comfort zone, if you like, to step out of the boat and go wherever he sends us to go. And then he calls us to baptize. Making disciples means that we are inviting people into the wider community of faith. A community where they can see the love of Christ through his people. A community where they can see God's people in action through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we draw people into that community, then baptism is their public witness to their new life. A new life shared with their new brothers and sisters in Christ. They become part of the community. They become part of this movement that is sharing the kingdom of God. And as they come into this community, they will see that we are all different people, from different backgrounds, from different nationalities, from different social classes, if there is such a thing still. But wherever we come from, whoever we are, whatever we're doing, we're all living together in community to glorify God. And this community is called the church. We are leading people into the church of Jesus Christ. I just want to point out that when we say baptize people, baptizing them is not a saving act in itself, but it's the fulfillment of the command and example of Jesus. And so we're drawing them into following the command and example of Jesus as they join us in this community of faith called the church. And in that community of faith, we share with each other. We share success and failure. We share joy and grief. We share hopes and dreams. We share struggles and we share testimony. I think when we came back from Uganda a few weeks ago, Jonathan was speaking, and he was saying just what a tremendous church family we have here at Welton. And John and Linda would testify to that, as John has done this morning. And it's true, this is a tremendous family of God here. And it's the sort of family that when we bring people into our community of faith, when we baptize them into the church, this is the community that we're bringing them into. A community that cares for each other, a community that loves each other. And a community that will always go the extra mile for each other. It's what Jesus calls us to do. And that's what we are baptizing people into. It's what we are drawing them into. It's a life of fulfillment with God. And then finally, Jesus, having called us to go and calling us to baptize, he calls us to teach. Anona and I believe that is our calling in Uganda, is to go and teach. Now, we would recognize that we're probably not the best teachers there are around of the Bible or of anything else, come to that. And we would recognize that there are probably far more able people in this gathering this morning that are able to go and do what we do. But the fact is that God said, come, and so we went. God said, go, and we went. And he honours us for that, I believe. If you honour God's call on your life, then God will enable you to do whatever he calls you to do. I believe that. Would you agree? So we go to teach new believers the ways of Christ. And I believe it's as relevant to do that in this country as it is abroad. You know, very often in our churches, I think we can bring new people to faith in Jesus Christ. But then sometimes they're left to fend for themselves a little bit. And I think that can be a failing of the church sometimes. It can be here. It certainly is in Uganda, because they don't, the church leaders themselves don't have the learning to be able to lead their congregations in the ways of Christ. And so that's why we're there. You know, and formal courses like we would teach in Uganda, they're okay. And we would teach them here as well. They're okay, because you can reach a larger number of people. And sometimes Jesus did that. He taught the crowds, didn't he? And they, you know, they responded to him. But his main way of teaching his disciples was by living the life with them. Jesus' disciples spent 3 years with him, seeing the way that he lived, looking at his prayer life, looking at the power in his ministry, looking at the wisdom of his teaching, looking at his dependence on his Father. And you know, if we as individuals are trying to bring on disciples, then we need to model things just as Jesus did. And another good example of modeling the Christian life was the Apostle Paul. If we have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and going from verse 8, Paul says this: "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. It's a wonderful passage, isn't it? It just shows how Paul and his colleagues lived amongst the Thessalonians, how they modeled the example of how a Christian should live. And I think it's a real example to us too. In fact, I believe it's a challenge to us, because we have a responsibility when we lead somebody to Christ, or when we're coming alongside somebody to disciple them. We have a responsibility to practice what we preach. You know, if we're teaching them about prayer, then we need to have a good prayer life in order to be able to teach them. If we're teaching them to study the Bible, then we need to be people who study the Bible in order to be able to teach that. And if we're trying to disciple them to live a Christian life, then we need to live such a life. We need to model the lifestyle. And it must be the lifestyle that Jesus calls us to. And it's a real challenge to us. And so when Jesus said, go, baptize, and teach, I believe it's a real challenge to us as God's people. You know, if we look at some of the sayings of Jesus, he said, come to me who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we would claim that promise, wouldn't we? We would claim that word of Jesus, where Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. We all want that, don't we? That's a promise of Jesus that we would claim. Where Jesus says, ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be opened to you. We would claim that promise, wouldn't we, as God's people? We would claim those good promises of Jesus. But very often then, when we read things like, go and make disciples, baptize them and teach them, very often we say, that's for somebody else, I don't do that. But actually, you know, we're called to the whole package of the gospel. We can't claim some parts without receiving the responsibilities that come with others. It's a whole gospel that we preach, it's a whole gospel that we teach, and it's a whole gospel that we need to live our lives by. In his book entitled Radical, there's an American pastor called David Platt, and he says this about discipleship. He says, discipleship involves propelling Christians into the world to risk their lives for the sake of others. Holiness is defined by what we do. We are now a community of faith, taking Jesus at his word and following his plan, even when it does not make sense to the culture around us, and even when it costs us. And I guess my question to each one of us this morning is, are you willing to take the first step? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go where Jesus sends you? Even if it's only next door. Are you willing to do all that he asks you to do? Are you willing to take that first step? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a word that teaches us. It's a word that encourages us. It's a word that promises us so much. Yet it's the word that also challenges us. When Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," then he had defeated death. He had defeated the grave. He had defeated Satan. And in his words of the Great Commission, all he's asking us to do is to tell other people about the way that he has defeated the enemy. That's all we've been asked to do, to go, to baptize, and to teach people in the ways of God, to proclaim the kingdom of God in the lives of those that need to hear it. And Father, I pray and thank you for the people here this morning that are already responded to that, Lord God, in their lives. They're showing fruit. And we thank you for those people, Lord. But I believe there are others that need to take on the word that you've given us, Lord God. That word to go, baptize, and teach. I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts, and that they would respond in a way that is honoring to you and will bring joy to you, because it means that when we answer that call of Jesus, then we are being obedient to him. When we've surrendered our lives to him, we are being obedient to him. And so, Father, I pray that you would make us a whole church that would just follow your will and purposes, that the gospel may grow in this area, that it may grow worldwide, Lord God. Revival needs to start somewhere, and let it start here, Lord, through your people. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.